Can we please bow our heads in prayer? Father, it's such a great privilege to be once again gathered in this place. For the sake of your name, we know that every time we come into your presence, you are faithful. You are faithful to your word that says that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are amongst them. And we believe you are here. And we believe that because you are here, none of us will remain the same. Father, we pray that you bless our hearts with your word and you will change us and set us on the course of your agenda for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I've been asked to come back this morning, this Sunday, to complete the assignments that I was given last Sunday to share with you about God's word. And for those of us who were here with us last Sunday, we remember that we were discussing about our encounter with the Lord and how it affects us, how it transforms us, how we experience spiritual restoration and transformation. Hallelujah. So I would like to invite you once again to turn our Bibles into the book of Acts chapter 9. This is the same text we read last Sunday, but this time we are going to read from verse 1 and we'll stop at verse 6. Acts chapter 9 from verse 1 down to verse 6. I read from the NIV version. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anywhere who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." This is God's word. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, we shared with you about three types of encounters that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw from the scriptures that there are people who met the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Herod, like the young rich ruler. They had an encounter with Jesus Christ, but they were just left with fleeting impressions about him. They were amazed with his wisdom. They were amazed with his teachings, but everything just stops there. That encounter did not lead to any commitment, any change in their lives. The second type of encounter we talked about, we called it miraculous moment, where you have people who encounter the Lord, they experience God's intervention in their lives. They were hungry. When they meet with Jesus, they get fed and satisfied. They were sick. When they meet with the Lord Jesus, they experience healing. They were cursed. When they meet with Jesus Christ, they experience blessing forever. And the third type of encounter, it goes with an intervention of God in our lives. But the only thing that changes is our situation, our physical situation. Our life here on earth is improved dramatically, but it just stops there. Our eternity is not affected. Our commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ does not follow. And the third type of encounter, we call it inner explosion. And we want to continue to discuss about that, taking as example the life or the experience of the Apostle Paul when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Before he met with Jesus Christ, Paul was a believer in God. Paul believed in God. He believed that the God who created heaven and earth is the only and true God. And he was devoted to him. He was profoundly a religious man. Paul was not an unbeliever. No, he believed. Paul studied the law of God. He spent a lot of his life studying God's word. He was deeply committed and meticulous in observing the law and the traditions of his people. So he was a very well-educated man in the things of God. Paul was also a man of character. He had very high moral integrity. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, he describes himself as faultless with regard to the law, blameless. Paul was also a confident man. He was not a confused man. He was very influential, a leader. He loved his nation, the Jewish nation. So this is a man who is not confused about his cultural identity. No, he knows who he is. He knows the group he belongs to. He's not confused about his political identity. No. This is a man who is assertive. He knows who he is and is proud of it. That was Paul before he meets Jesus. Paul was also a man of action. He was not just someone who believes, but he was ready to take action to defend his belief, his faith, his religion. He was a man with a clear sense of direction. His belief that he sees clearly. He knew where to go, what to do, and why. When you look at Paul's life, it must have been a beautiful thing to have Paul as a leader. You know, when you have a leader who knows exactly who he is, he knows where to go, he knows the right thing to do, he's assertive, you are not confused. It must have been very beautiful to have him as a leader. And even if Paul is described as a violent man in many commentaries in the Bible, but when Paul was persecuting the Christians, brothers and sisters, Paul was convinced, but he was serving God. He was very convinced. He was not somebody who hated God. No, he loved God. He was zealous for him. So he believed that fighting this movement called Christianity was the best way to protect his religion from heresy. He was committed to keeping his religion pure. Hallelujah. So this is a man who is very sincere in his faith and committed. But what happens when he comes in contact with Jesus? The first thing you read, when he had this experience of the light coming upon him, shining down on him, the Bible says Paul asked, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" This is very interesting, brothers and sisters. This is a man who was very familiar with the things of God.
But here's Paul asking, who are you? That question can only come from someone who is not familiar with the voice he's hearing. He hears the voice of Jesus, but he can't trace his voice. Who are you? It's very interesting that someone who will be so familiar with the text, someone who is so involved in the true religion, somebody who is so familiar with God's word and who will be so unfamiliar with his voice. This is so interesting. To me, it's a contradiction. How can you be so educated, Paul? How can you spend your life studying God's word? How can you be so dived into the things of God? But when you come in contact with him, you wonder, who is he? Who are you? You can't recognize him. When you meet this God, made the word of God, made flesh, the same word, but now made flesh, you can't recognize him. Brothers and sisters, we can know a lot about God. We can become so familiar with his word and yet fail to hear his voice. This is very possible. Very possible. Paul is a very good example. We can know the text. We can know it, but have no revelation about the one who wrote, the one who inspired the text. Why is this possible? This is possible, brothers and sisters, because unless we have an encounter with Jesus himself, we cannot know him. We cannot know the Lord unless he reveals himself to us. Praise the Lord. That is the reason why Paul said later, when he wrote to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, listen to what Paul says. He's writing to the church. He says this. Ephesians chapter 1, 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. So that you may know him. Because without his revelation about himself, you cannot know him. He says, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He knew what he was talking about. He knew that he himself, he used to know the scriptures, but without any revelation of the one who wrote it. Paul asks, who are you? Brothers and sisters, there is no amount of education in the things of God that can lead a man or a woman to truly know him unless God reveals himself to that man or to that woman. We need God to reveal himself to us. Have you met Jesus Christ? Have you come to an encounter, personal encounter with him? I'm not preaching this morning a religion. I'm not preaching you a doctrine. I'm preaching to you a man. A man. He is alive, this man. He died and rose from the dead. And he's alive. And he's still meeting with people today and changing lives. Hallelujah. In the church and outside the church, it is happening. And it can happen to you this morning in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, to experience that inner explosion when we come in touch with Jesus Christ, we need to come honestly before him and say, Lord, Lord, I need to know who you are. I need to know you. The problem we have in the church today, one of the biggest hindrances to the church growth today, is satisfaction. Satisfaction. We are too satisfied with what we understand about God. We are settled, so much settled in the things of God. We are so full that God cannot add anything more. I pray that God will give you a spirit of revelation so that you can know him better. Hallelujah. And God is more than willing. God is more than willing to reveal himself to you and I. The second thing that happens when Paul comes in touch, in encounter with Jesus, you will see that Jesus, brothers and sisters, Jesus, Paul is going to Damascus to persecute the church. But when he meets Jesus, Jesus does not reverse his journey. No. Jesus does not change Paul's direction. He keeps him moving to Damascus. Hallelujah. But something changes in Paul's journey to Damascus. He was going to Damascus to kill the believers in Jesus Christ. But when he comes in touch with Jesus, what changes is not his direction, but the purpose of his journey. Hallelujah. That changes instantly. And this is exactly what changes first when we meet Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you may be keep doing what you are doing as your job. You may stay in your career. You may keep attending the church that you are attending. But one thing for sure that will change is the purpose of what you are doing, the things that you are doing. Hallelujah. At first, this is what changes. That is what will change first. Initially, Paul, he was on this assignment. But then, Jesus changes his agenda. Brothers and sisters, when we meet Jesus Christ, Jesus will never let you leave for yourself, for your own purposes. Never. Never. When Jesus steps into your life, not around you, but inside of you. When Jesus steps not in your situation, but in your life. When he steps in, he will turn everything around. He will turn everything around, beginning with the purpose of your living. Why are you living? Let me just ask you that question. Think about your life. What are you working for? What are you pursuing? What is so dear to you? What are you not ready to give up? What would you sacrifice for everything? That's the purpose of your living. And Jesus, when he steps into your life, that purpose will change. It will change. He will never let you live to fulfill your own desires and purposes. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, listen to what he says. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 15, he says this. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died so that no Christians, no one who says, I believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died so that you will stop living for yourself. But you will begin to live for the one who died for you and who was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. What are you living for? When you experience that inner explosion, you will not just turn back from sin. No. You will turn from sin, yes, but first, you will turn from any other good thing that you have raised in your life above God. Any other good thing that you treasure about God. You will turn back from those things. There are people who live for their children. There are people who live for their career. There are people who live for their ambitions. There are people who live for their loved ones. But when Jesus steps into your life, brothers and sisters, your entire system of values will change. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 11. This is Paul's testimony about the transformation that he experienced. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Me, Paul. Listen to what he says. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. You see? In regards to the Lord, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But, all those things that were gains to me, now that I have met Jesus Christ, I consider them as loss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that was making him proud to be who he is. All those things, his credential, his identity, his reputation, everything, his achievements, everything has become a loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He even says, I consider them garbage, garbage. So those are things that the world values. The world respects those things. The world will praise you for what you have achieved. The world will respect you for who you are. But Paul says those things, they are now garbage. Why? Because the only thing I want to gain is Christ. Hallelujah. The person of Christ. My relationship with him is more than anything else I've ever known. More than anything else that I represent. The third thing that happens when Paul encounters Jesus. Jesus says in verse 6 of Acts chapter 9, he says, you will be told what to do. You will be told what you must do. My sister, my brother, when you experience a change in your life purpose, the next change is your mission. The purpose of your life will first change, and then your mission, what to do. You will be told. Jesus told Paul, you will be told. He did not say you'll figure out yourself what to do. No, he said you will be told what you must do. In other terms, you will become dependent. Hallelujah. You will become dependent on me. You will become just like a child. It's only a child who needs to be told what he must do. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what happens. An encounter, an explosive encounter with Jesus Christ will make you humble. It will make you humble. It will not make you independent. So many Christians are independent. Independent. They are living their life. Independence. They decide for themselves. They know how to do things. They even wake up Monday, Tuesday, Sunday. The whole week is finished. They even don't even try to find out what is God thinking about me. What has God asked me to do? No. They are living their marriage independently with their own philosophy. They are running their business independently with their own intelligence. When you meet Jesus Christ, that will stop because he will tell you what you must do. Hallelujah. The spirit of independence is not from God, brothers and sisters. And it's interesting that Paul is in front of Jesus himself, but Jesus did not tell him, this is what you will do. No. Jesus tells him, go into the city, and there someone that I've already prepared will tell you. But Jesus, why don't you just tell me? Here I am in front of you. Just tell me what to do. He says, no, go. Yeah, someone else will tell you. Yeah, because now you need to learn to be humble. Yes, those same people you wanted to kill, now, those are the people who will teach you. Hallelujah. This is what happens when we come in touch with Jesus. What kind of Jesus have you encountered? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue the work in our hearts. Because my words are not so great. Father, I pray that anyone who comes sincerely before you will experience that inner explosion. That his life will never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.